The blessings that God has given to each one of us are so involved in our lives and such a big part of them. And yet at the same time, we get them so often that we sometimes take them for granted. And so as we look at our lives, when's the last time we thank God for our health or for our prosperity? When's the last time that we thank God for our families, for the challenges that we have faced in our lives, for Jesus' death on the cross? These are all things that we are tremendously grateful for, but things that we often or sometimes don't even think about thanking God for them because they're such an integral part of our lives. So I want to begin our lesson this morning with the question that Jesus asked of those who had been healed of their leprosy. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Notice he didn't specifically thank Jesus alone for the gift that Jesus had given him. He thanked God. He glorified God, then fell down on his face, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner? And so the question, where are the 9, is really a question that should haunt us as we think about our own personal lives, as we think about the things that God has done for us, and of our sometimes lack of gratitude. We're just so busy. We're busy with what's coming in the future, or we're busy with the day, and we just don't take the time sometimes to reflect, and we miss an opportunity. We have spontaneous times where we just feel truly grateful to God. We have a near miss on the freeway, or somebody that we love that we thought was going to suffer some dire situation is saved from it, and we just feel so grateful, maybe for an hour, maybe for a day, maybe for a week. We're just so thankful to God for what he's done. But other times, we simply overlook it. So how does God see us when something good happens? Are we ready to thank God every good thing that happens today in your life? Will my first thought be to thank God? To share with God my gratitude, to share with God my praise and adoration because I got to eat lunch, because I got to take the Lord's Supper today, because we have air to breathe and a prosperous nation and freedom. Again, all of these things are wonderful and all of these things are good, but sometimes we learn how to take them for granted. So how do we feel about these things? There's a psalm. This is the 103rd psalm. I'm just going to put it all up here so you can kind of read along with me or read ahead. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. When's the last time we said that or something similar to it? When's the last time that with all of our heart we adored and thanked and glorified and praised God for anything? When's the last time that from our lips this sentiment came out in all of its fullness? Not just thank you, but with just from within coming out. Oh, thank you, Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives your iniquities? Do we thank God for forgiving our iniquities? Are we grateful to God for Jesus' death on the cross? I don't mean on the first day of the week. I mean in the middle of the week. As we commit a sin and we ask God to forgive us of our sin, is there any gratitude? Is there any thanks? Any relief? Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things? Where are the 9? Would be the question that we might want to ask ourselves here. Are we grateful to God for all of these things, whenever they happen? We're missing out on an opportunity to thank God. When something bad happens and we get out of it, when something good happens to us, when we continue to live the enjoyable life that we have, our children are not sick, our children are doing what they should be doing, our lives are what they ought to be. These are not things to take for granted. They're things to bring to God and be thankful to Him. The 100th Psalm, just a few songs before, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Have we ever done that? Have you ever made a joyful shout, just so gleefully happy over something that God did for you that maybe it's not coming out of your mouth, but it's in your heart, just a shout of adoration, thanksgiving. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Every breath that we take, every heartbeat that we have is a gift. Our lives are a gift. The world that we live in is a gift. Our abilities are a gift. Everything that we have, will have, the future, the past, any good thing in our lives was a gift. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Now, there's an interesting question. When you came in here this morning, were you already prepared to worship, or did that not start until we sang the first song or had the first prayer? What do we think about on the way here? Did you pray on the way here? Did we do anything to prepare ourselves? The first song that we sang this morning about our relationship and our thanks and our gratitude to the Lord for what He did, were they spontaneously following in your heart because they were already there, or do we have to generate them as we're singing the song? Verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. I like these psalms. I really enjoy reading them. They remind me of things. I make melody with some. I sometimes remember and say, you know, you made a promise you were going to do this. It's just a part of our lives as human beings that we remember, we forget, we feel certain emotions, we forget those emotions. Most of us, when we were baptized, we were so thankful and so gleeful and so enjoying that the moment, like the Ethiopian eunuch, rejoicing. But how have we been able to hold on to that? Do we still feel that sense of entitlement, that sense of what God did for us? I guess entitlement is not the right word, but what I mean by it is that God made us worthy to have those things. What a blessing. And then over time, it just becomes, it's incorporated into our lives. And we don't always get the same power of gratitude, that sense of joy, that sense of happiness. This isn't an onerous duty. The things that he's speaking of here should be very pleasurable to us. It's why we enjoy watching the football game. The joy that we feel as our team is doing things that is going to lead on to victory, that's why we watch it. We enjoy the conflict. And we enjoy the glee, the joy, the excitement of victory. And that's what God has given us. We're more than conquerors. And that same glee, that same joy, that same wonderful sense of appreciation, we could have that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every waking moment, if we keep it in our consciousness. And God wants us to keep it into our consciousness. In Deuteronomy, he says this, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Now, keep in mind, this is Moses just before he dies in his last address to the people, telling them that God is going to give you the land of Canaan, and when you get there, you are going to be so thankful. You're going to be so grateful. After 40 years of manna in the wilderness, I'm sure it would have been a wonderful thing to eat to the full in the land of Canaan. But then he goes on to say, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Now, brethren, we may never quote that particular statement in our minds, but when we start acting like it's true, when we start taking from God without thanking Him, you know, when I was a child, my folks taught me to say, please, and thank you for everything. Please pass the salt. Thank you. Please, can I leave the table? We had to ask to leave the table. We had to say, please, may I leave the table? That's how my folks trained us. Because they wanted us to appreciate that anything somebody does for us is a favor that we should appreciate. And that we should manifest gratitude by saying thank you. Not just words, but I'm really glad that you did that. I'm really grateful. How often do we do that anymore? How often do we thank people for what they do for us, let alone God? Again, it's not something we plan. It's just something that grows on us. We take it for granted. It just becomes a part of our life. It's not appreciated anymore because we've had it for 30 years or 40 years, and we just take it for granted. Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. Every day is a gift. But this is what can happen. You get a good gift, get a good job that you really like. You are given a body of that is just, you're so happy to have it. It's healthy, it's strong, it has the ability to function for you. It has certain gifts. You have a mind you can depend on. You have opportunities, people who depend on you, the ability to rise to those occasions, to feel that sense of comfort, that sense of usefulness, to have those things. But none of them came from us. They were all gifts from God. And yet, how many of us look at our mind and our emotions as gifts that we should be thankful for? Thankful that we feel joy. Thankful that we can accept a challenge and conquer. Thankful that our abilities have led us to a proficiency in certain realms of our life. All of these coming from God, and all of these, where are the nine? Or are we the one who's going to thank God for them? He wants us to be thankful. But what begins as a blessing just becomes normal. You know, the people who live through the Depression, they know. They live through that. They don't take things for granted. But over time, you can lose that sense of what it is to have those things. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 20, God makes it very clear what His expectations are from us. And everything up to this point was just kind of introductory to get us thinking about us, to get us thinking about what we're thankful for, to get us thinking about what we're not thankful for. If we're supposed to give thanks always, then my statement that we should be thanking God 24/7 or as long as we're awake, as long as we're aware, we should be thankful to God. As we live through each situation, there's something to be grateful for. Job thanked God, worshiped God, after his children were all dead. I don't know what he found to worship God for, but he worshiped him. Giving thanks always for all things. Everything that God has done for us, I'm supposed to thank him for. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, we plan that. I think most of us thank God before we eat. And we thank God for our lives, for our children, we thank God for most things some of the time. But this passage is asking a little bit more from us. So let's look at a couple more before we make any assessments. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, that's an important statement. I thought I had a line there about God's will. God's will. Jesus said, I have come to do thy will, O God. What is the will of God? Well, the will of God is the sanctification. The will of God is the word of God. But the will of God here is that I should be thankful to God in everything. So when I get up in the morning, thanks for the new day. As I eat, thanks for this food. As I pray, thank you for my life. Thank you for this wonderful country we live in. Thank you for my brethren. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my abilities. Thank you for my gifts. Thank you for my health. Thank you for... We could just go on and on and on, and hopefully we do. And then through the rest of the day, as things happen, we thank God for them. We thank God for the temptation we resisted. We thank God for the perseverance that we're getting because of the trials we're going through. We thank God for the various events of the day. Giving thanks always for all things, and in everything give thanks. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Would you give yourself an A for your efforts? Would I give myself a boy or a pat on the back? I'm really doing well. Is this making me maybe squirm a little bit? The reason this is so important, brethren, actually there's two reasons. First of all, it's fit and it's right to be grateful for things people do for us that we don't deserve. And everything God has done for us is not because we're deserving or because we deserve it. Once even our creation in the Garden of Eden was a gift. But once we sinned in the garden, everything was even more of a gift and a grace than it was before. So continually offer, again, that's a moment by moment by moment thing. In other words, I think what God is watching, I don't think He's wanting us to just be living our lives, thank you God, thank you God, thank you God, thank you God. But I think what God does want from us is that there is an assessment of each event. And each event is a gift in one way or another. Because everything God has done for us in this life is for our good, and His commands are for our good, and His desires for us are for our good. And so, are we offering the sacrifice of praise to God before the first day of the week? Then when we come on the first day of the week, we're just doing what we always do. And it's not something you have to generate. It's not something that's hard to do. As we sing these songs, our heart does make melody as we are singing the song. And that's what we noted this morning. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and turn our songbooks open to number 68. Lord, we come before Thee now, at Thy feet we humbly bow. Verse 2. Our souls depend, our hearts with Thy rich grace. Tune our lips to sing Thy praise. Thank that all may seek and find Thee a God supremely kind. Heal the sick, the captives free. You know, as I was singing that, I was thinking about people in the hospital, and I was thinking about people all over the world who are mistreated by those who have some control over them. And then I thought to myself, I'm not sick, and I'm not a captive. What a blessing. Thank you, Father, for that. Let us all rejoice. Because our hearts are already tuned to sing His praise, we make melody with the song as we're singing it. And oftentimes, other thoughts come into our minds as we're singing the song, because the song is meant to draw from within emotions and intellectual decisions and attitudes and plans, etc. Because every song has a different purpose. But unless we're continually offering the sacrifice of praise, it can be really tough to come here and generate it. Unless we really feel as we come here the blessed entitled or the entitlement of being here because God has made us worthy to be here. I get to come here on the first day of the week and worship God because God has cleansed and washed and allowed us to do that. Can we take that for granted? Can we just accept that as a part of life? Can we just treat that as common? If we do, we're not thinking clearly. We're not manifesting the proper understanding of who God is and who we are. He is the Creator, and we owe Him for everything. And it would be impossible, if we could see ourselves clearly, not to be doing what this writer here says, to be continually offering the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to to his name, and as the Ephesian writer put it, giving thanks always in all things to God the Father through the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So, as we sum up here, I'm not even close to finish, but as we sum up here, where do we stand? How do you feel about this? Now, I feel a lot more comfortable about this now than I did when I was actually doing the lesson, because I made some mental decisions, and since then, I've been doing a lot of these things, so I can stand here and talk about these things and feel pretty good. But those of you who are hearing it for the first time, how does it make you feel? Does it make us feel good about ourselves? Does it help us to appreciate maybe we're missing out on something? There's a lot of joy in gratitude. Gratitude can turn any task into an honor and a pleasure. If somebody does something nice for me and I just feel so much gratitude toward them and I say, what can I do for you? And they say, well, I need you to do whatever it is. Whatever that might be, I'm going to do that with a joy and a happiness and a desire to really do it well because I feel so much gratitude in my heart. And that's what God wants from us. God wants our service to him to be coming spontaneously from a grateful heart, not an onerous or difficult task that we force ourselves to do. Some people force themselves to come here on the first day of the week. It's not something they're excited to come and do because they're not doing these things and understanding that this particular day is a day where all of the things we've been doing all week gets to be concentrated. I've been thankful about Jesus' death on the cross all week. I've been thanking God for the blood of Jesus and for the power it gives me. I've been thanking God for the forgiveness of my sins. And so when I come here on the first day of the week and take the Lord's Supper, just doing what we do every day. Except today, it's more powerful because today is the day Jesus says, I will be there with you. And this is the day when I actually want you to break the bread and drink the fruit of the vine. But the gratitude and appreciation for what he's done is continually offered up to God as the sacrifice of praise. And the same thing with giving. And the same thing with all of the acts of worship. Here's an interesting passage that... Do you do this? I think we all do the first part. If any one of you is suffering, we pray. But when you're cheerful, do you sing? Do you sing praises to God? This is the Greek imperative, which means these are not suggestions, these are commands. This is a command. If you are suffering, you must pray. The ending on the word says this is a command. Now, we do it with inflection. We do it with the ability of context of saying that this is a command. He told him to do this. But the Greeks just slapped an ending on the word, and that ending then became a command. So if you're cheerful, you should be singing praises to God. Are we doing it? This is a way to offer. Let's go back and look at that previous verse here for a second. If every time you're cheerful, you sing a praise to God, brethren, by now we should have most of our songs memorized. We should be able to sing Purer, O Heart, Pure in Heart, O God, Help Me to Be. Or we should be able to sing My God, He is Alive. Or we should be able to sing about praising God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, you creatures here below. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks. Now we can do it in prayer, but here we have a command to sing. Which means, and I don't know, maybe you don't think your voice is very good, so you don't want anybody to hear you doing it. But at home, in the car, while we're by ourselves, and even maybe if it doesn't come out of your mouth, although I'm not sure you can sing without singing. So the command itself says you should sing. When you're cheerful, sing. Now, a lot of us whistle and we sing, but we whistle and sing other songs. We don't offer the kind of, this is the Greek word, you've heard it before, solo. This is the same word that's used in Ephesians chapter 5, that when it says that we are to speak one to another, and then singing with grace in our hearts, or singing, making melody in your heart. This is the same word. So we have a command that whenever we're cheerful, we should be praying, and that whenever we're suffering, whenever we're suffering, we should be praying, and whenever we're cheerful, we should be singing. So our singing is a barometer of the kind of praise we're offering to God. And you can make any excuse you want to. This is a command. Now, maybe it hasn't been emphasized in our lives. Maybe preachers haven't preached on it as forcefully as they should have. But it's in James chapter 5. And if you don't believe me, you go home and look it up in any commentary. The ending on this word is imperative. It means it's a command, which means if we don't do it, we're not obeying a command. When you're suffering, you should bring your need to God in prayer, and we all know that, and we all do it. When you're cheerful, you should be thanking God in prayer, and you should be singing. And if we're not singing, that's a pretty good indication that we're not sharing our cheerfulness with God. Now, you could say, well, yeah, but I thank God in my heart in prayer. Well, that's good. And we just read some passages where you're supposed to do that. But this is another tool. And so you can ask yourself, where are the nine? Are you one of the nine here, or are you one of the one? Are you doing this? Do we ever do this? Can we incorporate this into our lives? Can we start pushing ourselves more to bring this? Because this is something, again, it's a reminder. It's like those phylacteries or those frontlets on your eyes or those signs on your hands. There are certain things that we can do as Christians to keep in our hearts those things that are important. And this is one of them, to learn how to sing praises to God whenever you're cheerful. So you can whistle, but whistle a song of praise to God. And while you're whistling the notes, you're thinking in your heart. Or you can be actually singing, which is, I think obviously a little more to the point. When Abraham's servant was sent to find a wife for Isaac, he said a prayer to God. He said, Father, if the first girl that I meet does, and I think he had four or five criteria that she would get water for him and for his livestock, and that she would make certain statements. And when the first girl came along, did that, it says he worshiped. He felt an overwhelming, spontaneous sense of gratitude and appreciation for the providence of God. Have we ever sensed that or felt that? Do we believe that God is intervening in our lives? When we have a safe journey, do you have that sense of gratitude when you're finished, or do you just take it for granted? We always ask God for a safe journey when we start. But when we're finished, do we really think he gave it to us, and are we really grateful that he answered our prayer? Or, well, even if I hadn't prayed, it would have happened anyway. I mean, that's the way some people look at it, but that's not the way a Christian would want to look at it. This individual was sent on a mission that he knew God wanted to be fulfilled, and yet he was so thankful when God opened the door for him to be able to fulfill it. Now, we get things like that all the time. We thank God for our day, or we ask God for our daily bread. Do we worship and thank God that we have it? Or do we look at our pantry and say, why should I thank God? Why should I ask God for my daily bread? I'm set up for the next couple of weeks. But you shall remember that it was God who gave you the power to get wealth. And you remember that parable where the man was given all those things, but he was not given the ability to eat it. He was going to build, tear down his barns and build greater. And God said, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. Instead of being grateful for what he had, he just took it all for granted. When Moses revealed to Israel that God was going to deliver them, it says that they worshiped. The people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and they worshiped. Now, we can do that anytime we want. When we think about what Jesus did for us, when we think about John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's a passage of great, great gift that we should be thankful for. So there's, as I say, there's things that create spontaneous gratitude where you just can't hardly contain it. You're just so happy because something happened that you weren't expecting. It just created that initial burst of this wonderful sense of gratitude and appreciation for God. And we can get things like that, but you can't count on them. They're not going to come every day. You're not going to get things like this every single day of your life. We don't have these kind of things happening to us every day. So there's also planned gratitude for a meal, for good health, for our blessings, for promises kept, for God's blessings. I guess that's a repetition for things we remember. I look back over the last few months. I've been thinking a lot about what I was like before I became a Christian and just shuddering and thinking to myself how God pulled me out of the muck of doom and the no future and no hope. And now here I am. I can look back on a life with joy and pleasure because God did something for me 50 some years ago, or 40. Yeah, I guess it was close to now to 40, 43 years ago. We ever do that? Think about that. Those are the kind of things we have to do if we're going to keep our relationship with God warm and what it ought to be. Because there's a grave danger here. Even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. This is Romans chapter 1 talking about all first generation Christians or all who were raised as Christians and know God's word, and yet this can happen so quickly where you know God, you don't give God the thanks. Your senseless heart becomes darkened. Your speculations become futile. I think we're kind of like yo-yos here, personally. At least I am. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're just on this wonderful climb. But I find myself some days, some weeks, some months, just so close to God and feeling so grateful to God and so wondrous to God, singing praises to him. When I sing the songs at services, I'm just so filled with joy and happiness. But then there's other times where it's a real struggle. And I'm so busy, or I'm so involved in other things, or I'm so depressed over this situation or that situation, and I find myself here. Find myself not giving thanks like I should, and my sense of honor and glory to God is starting to dim a little bit. And of course, I always slap myself around and say, wake up. I don't let it go very far. Now, maybe you never do that, but I don't know too many people whose lives are just like this. They're not. They're more like this. There's ups, there's downs. There's times when we're really doing well and times when we're struggling. And to be able to monitor that and to look at this verse and say to yourself, where am I right now? Am I more like the 9 or am I more like the person who came back to glorify God and thank Jesus? Glorifying God for all of the good things in my life that I can remember and all of the good things in my life that come moment by moment by moment as those good and perfect gifts come down from God with no shadow and no variation that is cast by turning. But this is a really fascinating thing to watch, not only in my life, but I watch it in your lives. And of course, you watch it in other people's lives. You can see people who, it's obvious, they're so in love with God, they're so devoted to God, they're so thankful to God, it just comes out in your conversations with them. They talk about it. Aren't we thankful to God today? God did this, God did that. Then there's other people, they never refer to God. They're not honoring him as God, and they're tottering right on the verge of falling off into the abyss, because the more gratitude you have, the more zealous your service will be. The less gratitude you have to God, the more onerous and the more of a grunt type thing it becomes. And for some people, Christianity, that's what it is. It's just a very difficult burden to carry. Other people like Paul said, because of the grace of God, I labored more than all of them. Paul's appreciation and thanks for what God did for him moved him to become one of the greatest men in the Bible, my opinion. He didn't have to force himself to do it. He had to force himself not to do it. He wanted to do it. It was his ever waking moment was, here's what God did for me, and now I want to give something back to God. And all God wants me to do is better myself, to become a more knowledgeable person, a better person. And the more knowledgeable and better I become, the more happy I am. And it's just a wonderful cycle of growth and development. But sometimes you have to look at this verse. And you have to think about these things. So if we're always thankful, then we're going to be riveted on the prayers. And we're going to be joyful as we say our own prayers. And when we sing, we're going to make melody. You can't help but make melody because your life, your relationship with God is so vibrant because of gratitude and appreciation and thanks, because he's a good God who's given us all of these things. And anything he should ask of us in return, as Jesus said, we're just unprofitable servants. We can't even do enough to make up for what God has done for us. It's impossible. And so we should have this attitude, this wonderful attitude of it's a privilege that we're Christians. It's a privilege that I can thank God. I want to be that one man. I never want to be one of the nine. The more grateful we are, the more powerful communion will be. And the more you will be riveted to the sermon. You'll be listening because you want to hear what God wants you to do, because you're so thankful to God for what he's already done for you. And you understand, as the Deuteronomy puts it, his commandments are for our good always. The more we understand the commands and the more we do the commands, the happier we're going to be and the more successful we're going to be. Psalms 145. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Now, here's a little different take. Instead of giving thanks continually, instead of thanking God always for all things, here's forever and ever. In other words, I'm going to be doing this all the time into eternity. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another. That means that I'm talking about what God has done for me and what God has done for his people, to my children, to my grandchildren. One generation to the next generation. I will meditate on your glory, on the glorious splendor of your majesty. Again, how often do we just sit down and think about the glory of God and the majesty of God? Sometimes when I go on my walk in the morning, the sun's coming up and it's a beautiful color, and it brings to my mind the glory of God. And I look at it and I praise God for his glory. I mean, like I said, there's just little things that we can do to really push this into our minds. When spring comes and the trees are all in bloom, and we can appreciate what God has done all the more. Every season has something. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. You ever just go through the days of creation and thank God that he made the light? That the dry ground is so amazing. I mean, with the mountains and all the different types of rock and soil and terrain and rivers and waters and just all the things God did on the second day of creation. And then thinking about all the vegetation and how beautiful it is, and looking at the stars and thinking about them, and all of the fish and all the birds and all the animals and all the blessings that we have. All his wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. Are you one of those, or are you one of the nine? Have you ever talked about God's awesome acts? And I will declare your greatness. Now here's a man who understood none of this was forced. None of this was wrung out of him. It was just something he wanted to do. So we can have spontaneous gratitude, but sometimes we have to find ways to remember. That's why I say there's just little things that you can do. When you smell a rose, you can think about, okay, God created the rose. And then it just all flows from that. The next time we have a good steak, or we enjoy a good dessert, we think of to ourselves, God created my taste buds and God created this food. Well, I thank you, God. You're an amazing God. The next time that we have some brother or sister in Christ do something nice for us, and we think to ourselves, you know, God created the gospel to design people so they could do things like this. Thank you, God, for that wonderful work. You can write it on your refrigerator door, give thanks always. You can put it on your steering wheel. You can put it on your front door. I mean, there's lots of things that we can do. Now, this is our last verse. I'm going to read it, and then the lesson will be completed. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. You ever sit down and think about Noah, what that must have been like, and what that flood must have been like? You ever think about Abraham and how God called him and all the wonderful blessings that have come from that? Just finished up reading the 10 plagues and just awesome things to think about that God could do. Those are the kinds of things God can do. So, brethren, we have a wonderful opportunity, and that's what it is. This is not a duty. I mean, it's a command, but it's a command that's for our good. It's a command that was written because God knows that if we want to have a wonderful relationship with him and a wonderful experience as Christians, if we want to appreciate all of the duties and obligations and responsibilities, even the toughest ones, it's very simple. Just get a little bit of gratitude. The more gratitude you feel, the easier it will be. Any sacrifice, there is no sacrifice that's too hard. It's just, God wants this, I want to do it. So, as we look now at number 285, Zion's call sweetly rings because the good news of the gospel is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but by grace you can be saved. God has put salvation into the grasp of every one of us. And so as we sing this song, brethren, let's sing it with gratitude and let's sing it with appreciation. And if there's a need, then let's take advantage of that need, because God did all of these things for us so we could take advantage of them and be thankful to him. So if we can help you in any way, would you please come while we together stand and sing?